I'm including some quotes to flesh out this discussion. W.E.B. Du Bois has been coming up for me recently, first because Robert Allen's Black Awakening in Capitalist America that we looked at last week calls on us to re-examine Du Bois' thoughts on how we get past the morass of class. And second, because I was incensed at some pundits misrepresenting him, taking his name in vain, citing him as authority, substituting immature fragments for the whole man to justify their elitism. Because of the state's suppression of our free access to information and to the ancestors who opposed class, either broadly or in any of its myriad guises, each generation of honest observers under the regime of class retraces the steps of the previous one, begins by assuming the problem is insufficient or deficient education, and generally conclude by saying that in some ways things are getting worse for us because our unity, our independence of thought, and the quality of our souls are deteriorating. Because the problem, they learn, they discover, if they stay on the problem long enough, as Du Bois did, is the hidden hand of power, which has never before, with concerted global action, which it must be as power is global, never before today been fully faced. Quote, this is W.E.B. Du Bois. My basic theory had been that race prejudice was primarily a matter of ignorance on the part of the mass of men, giving the evil and antisocial a chance to work their way. That when the truth was properly presented, the monstrous wrong of race hate must melt and melt quickly before it. All human action to me in those days was conscious and rational. There was no twilight zone. On the other hand, I began to be deeply and disturbingly aware that with all the success of our agitation and propaganda, the barriers of race prejudice were certainly as strong in 1930 as in 1910, the world over, and in certain aspects, from certain points of view, even stronger. Or in other words, beyond my conception of ignorance and deliberate ill will as causes of race prejudice, there must be other and stronger and more threatening forces forming the founding stones of race antagonisms, which we had only begun to attack, or perhaps, in reality, had not attacked at all. Moreover, the attack upon these hidden and partially concealed causes of race hate must be led by Negroes in a program which was not merely negative in the sense of calling on white folk to desist from certain practices and give up certain beliefs, but direct in the sense that Negroes must proceed constructively in new and comprehensive plans of their own. And my interjection, this is obviously now the work of all of us globally. We can see that clearly, that it is something that, how did he put it? He had a way of putting it I liked. That for those of us who live for the widest development of men and women, and life itself, we know we have to work in concert, continuing. And that the plan we come up with in concert. He didn't have the internet, right? He saw as far as he could see, and he saw far. But we build on that work. That's why we're here, to synthesize and advance our ancestors' gifts. Continuing, I think it, quote, this is continuing with W.E.B. Du Bois, I think it was the Russian Revolution which first illuminated and made clear this change in my basic thought. It was not that I at any time conceived of Bolshevik Russia as ushering in any present millennium. I was painfully sensitive to all its failures, to all the difficulties which it faced. But the clear and basic thing which appeared to me in unquestioned brightness was that in the year 1917, and then after a struggle with the world and famine 10 years later, one of the largest nations of the world made up its mind frankly to face a set of problems which no nation was at the time willing to face, and which many nations, including our own, are unwilling to face even to this day. Those questions involved the problem of the poverty of the mass of men in an age when an abundance of goods and technical efficiency of work seemed able to provide a sufficiency for all men, so that the mass of men could be fed and clothed and sheltered, live in health, and have their intellectual faculties trained. Russia was trying to accomplish this by eventually putting into the hands of those people who do the world's work the power to guide and rule the state for the best welfare of the masses. It made the assumption, long disputed, that out of the downtrodden mass of people, ability and character sufficient to do this task effectively could and would be found. I believed this dictum passionately. It was, in fact, the foundation stone of my fight for black folk. It explained me. I had been brought up with a democratic idea that this general welfare was the object of democratic action in the state, of allowing the governed a voice in government. But through the... And he's going to talk World War I here. But through the crimson illumination of war, I realized, and afterward by travel around the world, saw even more clearly that so-called democracy today was allowing the mass of people to have only limited voice in government, that democratic control of what are at present the most important functions of men, work and earning a living and distributing goods and services, that here we did not have democracy, we had oligarchy, and oligarchy based on monopoly and income. And this oligarchy was as determined to deny democracy in industry as it had once been determined to deny democracy in legislation and choice of officials, unquote. And that is from Dusk of Dawn by W.E.B. Du Bois. And what has been also coming up for me is realizing that, I've been thinking about what he said about black folk taking the lead. And I see that in terms of the earth connected taking the lead. And it got me also seeing his words about traveling and seeing the world. It is that particularly for those we cherish, we black folk in America, as our guiding lights, that was the way to embracing all of us globally, embracing our responsibility for everyone, was traveling globally. I mean, that's what made Malcolm X ultimately the threat that determined power to kill him. His heart opening to love for everyone. See, that's the threat, not getting stuck in division.